Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zenith Bank Half Year 2022 conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. To remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I am pleased to present Mr. Ebenezer Onyeagwu, Group CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome everyone to this conference call, where we'll be throwing more light regarding the detailed financial statement for half year 2022. Before we proceed, I'd like to introduce my colleagues who are on this call with me. I have Dennis Olisah, Executive Director; Adobi Nwakpa, Executive Director; Tokwe Fashoroti, Executive Director; Henry Oro, Executive Director; Akin Ogunrantí, Executive Director; Felix Egbon, the Chief Risk Officer. We have Joshua Wedinisu, AGM Risk Group. We have Mukhtar Adams, our CFO, the Group CFO. We have Nsikka Omorin, from our Financial Control Unit. We also have Eugene Ewubo, also from our Financial Control and Strategic Department. We have Mike Adesoloye, also from Financial Control Team. Taye Ayedubu, the Investor Relations Manager. And lastly, we have Shade Keleko, also of Investor Relations Group. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very, very difficult period globally. The kind of headwinds we've seen at the global scene is unprecedented in the last so many years. And this has brought about a lot of movement with respect to inflation, high inflationary trend, and we have also witnessed increasing review of rates of interest. With respect to our local economy, we have also seen that our reserve as a nation continue to hover between $38 and $39 billion. And within the period, Q1 GDP printed at 3.1%, and crude price has continued to oscillate above $100 per barrel. This has also been a mixed blessing for Nigeria, because it has also brought about huge exposure with respect to subsidy payment. Indeed, the amount of subsidy payment has become so huge beyond what was budgeted at the beginning of the year. Inflation in Nigeria has also hit an all-time high of 19.6% as of July. And this is being driven by high energy costs and high food costs, as well as foreign exchange rates. Within the period, the Central Bank of Nigeria has also responded to the high inflationary trend by reviewing the monetary policy rate twice. And as we speak, monetary policy rates stand at 14%. Additionally, CBN has adjusted the interest rate on intervention loan that had been at 15% since the emergence of COVID. Rate has now been reverted to 9% per annum with effect from 1st of September 2022. Additionally, there's been a revision of interest rate on savings, which has now moved to 10%. It used to be 10% of MPR. Now it has been reviewed by MPC to 30% of MPR effective 1st of September 2022. Within this half year, CBN introduced the RT200 FS program, which is a program intended to raise $200 billion in foreign exchange repatriation for non-oil exports. So far, we have recorded in the economy a repatriation of about $2.3 billion between Q1 and Q2. Q1, foreign exchange, non-oil foreign exchange repatriation was about $670 million. But Q2, it rose to 1.7. This is coming on the back of the rebate of 65 naira per dollar that CBN is paying. Our expectation is that for as long as this rebate is sustained, we will continue to see incremental accretion to repatriation of foreign exchange proceeds of non-oil exports. Within the period, we are happy to announce that Zenith Bank recorded double-digit growth in gross earning, from 17% from 346 billion to 405 billion. Profit before tax also increased by 11%, coming from 107 billion to 130 billion. Our balance sheet figures and highlights remain very strong and robust. All our ratios are clearly above the minimum regulatory threshold. Also important to note that our retail and digital banking initiative continue to deliver very strong and positive results. So I'd like to welcome the CFO, who will throw more light and give deeper insights regarding the figures around our performance for half year. Mukhtar, over to you.
Thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking at our performance for half year 2022. We have a very strong top line growth, 17%, 404 billion. We also have the contribution for the top line growth is coming from 19% growth in interest income and 18% growth in non-interest income. So the two income components have experienced growth. Interest income grew largely from increase or growth in interest income from loans and advances over the period. Indeed, our loan book has grown by 5% within the period. Non-interest income grew by 18% because most of our non-interest income lines, fees and commission lines, have grown within the period. The major one among them is the growth, 45% growth in our fees on electronic products, which is confirming the fact that our retail business is growing stronger. Then we have our PBT bottom line also grew by 11%, 130 billion within the period. Then we look at interest expense. Within the period, our interest expense has increased by 30%, largely due to the increasing yield environment, and then also movement of MPR within the period. Also within the period, we have seen 11% growth in our deposits. So the combination of growth in interest income and then elevation in interest expense had a NIMS impact of 11% growth. So our net interest income, net interest margin grew from 6.4% to 7.1%, representing 11% growth. Indeed, our cost of funds moderated at 1.4%. Impairment charge during the period grew by about 27%, largely due to the growth in our loan book and our continuous effort to properly account for the elevated risk environment. Our cost of risk within the period moderated at 1.37%. On our non-interest income, we also want to mention the strong outing of our treasury book. Both trading income on treasury bills and all our treasury activities contributed to strong growth of 43.7% in those income lines. Operating expenses grew by 19%, largely in line with the rate of inflation during the period. Out of the operating expense growth, we have about 30% of our operating expense accounting for regulatory costs, AMCON and NDIC charges. Aside that, most of our operating expense grew below the growth of inflation. On our balance sheet, we are happy to note that The total asset of the group closed at 10 trillion, while our shareholders' fund grew or closed at 1.2 trillion. Our liquidity ratio closed at 60%, while our capital adequacy ratio closed at 21%. So if you look at the strength of the balance sheet, both in terms of shareholders' funds, total assets, deposit size, there is clear indication that the group has a very strong and liquid balance sheet that will give us the opportunity to expand and take advantage of business opportunities within the year and beyond. So in conclusion, the P&L, that's the income statement and the balance sheet, clearly shows that Zenith Bank has had a very, very strong outing in the up to June 2022 financial year. We are going to continue with this trajectory to the end of the year to continue to deliver good returns to our shareholders and our other stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mukhtar. So, ladies and gentlemen, the session is open for questions and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on the telephone keypad displayed on the screen. You will hear a confirmation tone that you have joined the queue. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing star followed by two to cancel. Our first question is from Tunde Ogunleye of SBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the conference call and thank you for taking my question. Please, can you confirm if you can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you so much. My first question, I have a couple of questions, but the first question is related to margins. On margins, I want to know what is driving the interest income on your loans. Do you reprice your loan book during the period? And by how much do you reprice your loan during the period? And are we expecting additional increase on your loan rates given the rising rate environment? The second is to know what is responsible for the growth we saw in your interest expense, particularly the double digit growth we saw on current account deposits. What is responsible for that increase? And given the fact that CBN has recently raised the negotiable minimum on savings deposits, how should we be looking at your funding costs towards the next half of the year? Your fees on electronic products was up 45% year on year. What is driving that growth, and are we expecting that trend to also continue given the competition in the retail banking space? On trading gains, I want you to speak on what is driving the gains that you book on your treasury bill at fair value and profit and loss instrument. What is driving that significant increase? And also, if you could shed more light on your FX revaluation loss. You had 6.2 billion FX revaluation loss, coming from a positive of 12.4 billion in previous year. I want to know what is driving that decline and if you could also share your outlook on FX. In terms of your asset quality, your impairment charge was up 27% year on year, and it was very significant on a quarter on quarter basis. If you could shed more light on what is driving that quarter on quarter increase. I also noticed that your loan exposure in the power sector increased by 55% year to date. If you could also shed more light on what is driving that. And I would like to know what percentage of your loan book are currently intervention loans. Given the increase in rates on intervention loans, how do we expect this to impact your needs? My final question is on your matured bonds. You currently paid your outstanding balance in May 2020, and are there any indications of you coming to the market to raise another euro bond? I'll pause here for now just to be able to allow other participants to ask their questions. Thank you.
Tunde, you've asked a question for everybody. I'll take on the last one, the matured bond. Yes, we paid it out, and there are no indication that we are going to tap back into the market. Of course, you know that market conditions right now don't appear favorable. So for anybody to tap into the euro bond. The other one, margin, you talked about interest income on loan. I think what we'll say is that we are just effective with respect to how we price our loan, our deposits. That's basically what you see that is driving us. Of course, rise in interest expense. There are so many riders to that too. We have to contend with the continued arbitrary CRR regime. And we have also seen a spike in terms of upward movement in interest rates, which even started from the time the MPR was reviewed upwards. And what do we expect to see going into the second half of the year? With interest rates, interest on savings going up, we expect that there will be an increase in interest rates. But however, the response we have is that accordingly, we will adjust our interest rates, interest on loan effectively to ensure that we don't lose in terms of our margin gain and our guidance with respect to margin. Fees on electronic product, I think it essentially speaks to the intensity with which we are driving our digital and retail banking initiative. And what we have there, the environment or that segment may be competitive, but what we like to tell the market is that we run our own race, we maintain our lane, and we think we'll continue to assert ourselves. When we started retail and digital banking initiative about 2018, you recall we had like about 3.8 million accounts, but right now as we speak, the number of accounts we have, they are over 20 million. And at that time, we ranked number 8 in terms of number of accounts in the industry. Today, we rank a very close number 3. So there are so many ideas, there are so many initiatives, so many strategies we have employed, and that will continue to drive our business. Forex revaluation gain is simple because I think I'll leave Mukhtar, the CFO, to throw more light on it. It's just the exchange rate movement. At the end of the year, we translated the balance sheet. I think it was about 424. And as at half year, we translated at, I think, about 421. Mukhtar will give you the exact figure. Asset quality impairment, given where we are, the elevated risk environment, it's only natural that we show conservatism and prudence in increasing our impairment charge. That's basically what we've done. Power sector increase, I'm not sure what you mean by that because we don't have any incremental exposure. Maybe what you are looking at, I'll get Dennis to speak more to that. Maybe you are looking at slight movement and changes in the size of exposure. But in absolute terms, the loans remain the same. There are two primary obligor, and they are up to one is certainly up to date. One is fully converted to Naira. The other one is in dollar. We have the Naira. We're just taking our time to source the dollar to repay. So I think I'll leave Dennis to speak more on the power as sector loan. Then Mukhtar will throw more light regarding the trading gains and the FS revaluation loss.
On the power sector, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for attending our investors' conference. On the power position, nothing really has changed. Like the GMD pointed out, we have been a little bit more aggressive in our taking care of loans that are not doing well. However, for power sector directly, we really don't see any change whatsoever, either in terms of the volume of loan in that sector or in terms of non-performance. What you see, the slight deterioration you see, basically, is just a deliberate attempt by the bank to ensure that we take care of anything before they really go bad. Thank you.
All right. Mukhtar?
Okay, thank you very much, Tunde. So you're talking of the trading book. Our treasury bills measured at fair value through profit and loss. The income we have made on it, you see the breakdown on our note 11, page 135. If you go to the other pages where we have the disclosure of our treasury bills, page 139, note 16, you realize that our treasury bills value to fair value through profit and loss has increased. So the volume has increased. That's number one. Number two, this half year has also seen rate volatility. So when you have rates moving up and down, the trading book does very well depending on how your treasury team has taken position. So that's what accounts for the growth in that income line. And then you're also talking of our impairment. The MD has already explained the impairment is just to account for the elevated risk environment. Revaluation loss, as explained by the MD again, the exchange rate, actually the Naira strengthening, official Naira rate strengthened against the dollar within the first 6 months of this year. So that's what is giving us revaluation loss. I hope we've answered all the questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So just so.
May I request that as much as possible, if we can limit the question to two or three, so that we give room for others to ask questions. Maybe we can come back subsequently if there are follow-up items.
Thank you, sir. Then we move on to the next question from Rona Gadia of EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation and taking my questions. My first one is on your capital. Could you just share what your capital adequacy ratio would be under Basel III? My second question, just to maybe as a follow-up on all of Tunde's questions, on NIMS, it seems like there's various moving parts. NPR is going up, intervention rate loans are going up, savings deposit rate is going up. So could you just maybe share the outlook for what your NIMS would be in through the rest of the year and going into next year? Just those two questions for now, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Rolak. For NIMS, I think we guided 7.5%, and we are sticking to that. What we see, the banking business is a margin business. For as long as you are effective, when you see movement in interest rate, and effectively you can contend with that with some adjustment, upward movement in your lending rate, your NIMS is not going to shrink. So it's a tough call because nobody gives you a congratulatory message when you communicate to them that you are increasing their lending rate, so which is the hard thing we need to lift. But however, what is real is what is real. With the environment we have where inflation is at 19.6%, and again, the regulators on their own have also moved the concession given to intervention loan from 5 to 9. It goes without saying that market will expect that rates on lending will go up. So we'll be effective as we do that. So we think the guidance we gave on the NIMS is still valid. We are not changing it. On capital adequacy, I'll invite Felix Egmo to answer that.
Thank you, JMD. Good afternoon, everyone, for attending this call. Your question with respect to Basel III forecast. Basel III essentially requires us to hold about 17% with respect to capital. Our current capital adequacy ratio prints at about 21%, which leaves us a very robust gap of about 4%. Given our growth trajectory to the end of the year, and our plan on retentions, our retentions have always been robust, coming in at about 40-45% of our profits. We think that we'll be able to handle any growth projections that we have. So our guidance for capital at the end of the year is about 21%. We think we'll be able to achieve that. And given that Basel III requires about 70%, we'll see how we'll still be able to maintain that 4% gap that we think exists. And that buffer should be able to handle any shock or any growth projections we may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just if you don't mind, just one quick question as well on your NPL side. Given the uncertain environment, I'm not sure if the bank has carried out any sensitivities on its NPLs to the exchange rate and to interest rates. So, you know, what would happen to your NPLs if interest rates were to go to 20% and let's say the exchange rate goes to 500 or 550? I'm not sure if there's any sensitivities you can share on that subject. Thank you.
Okay. Exchange rate impact on NPL. I think first and foremost, Rolak, is to also remind you that we are a Naira balance sheet. Predominantly, the loans we have, and even those in NPL, they are Naira-denominated loans. So the implication of exchange rate movement, upward movement or adjustment in rates affecting the NPL will be as it concerns the dollar-denominated NPL. So that proportion is probably like about 20-25% of the loan book. And the very good thing is that we have also, for the dollar loans that are within that bucket, we are beginning to see improvement. The bulk of them are actually EMP assets, the indigenous assets, but that have suffered from crude theft. But as we speak, a good number of them have almost, they are at the verge of concluding the alternative evacuation route that will enable them to mitigate the very extensive line losses they have. So we expect that from Q4, normalcy will return, and at the levels where crude prices are, once they start production, and given the fact that even as a country, our quota is still not fully utilized, so we think we are in a good place to begin to experience recoveries and effective performance of those that will threaten the MPL should we have an exchange rate movement to 500. We don't think our prognosis is that it will not be impactful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from Ebitonye Ate of United Capital PLC. Please go ahead.
My own question is on your valuation of the AFC. So essentially what I was saying was that we noticed that your valuation was over 7 billion, but considering the fact that interest rates are higher and there was revised growth rates for a lot of emerging markets, so your terminal growth rate should actually also be lower as well. We want to know how your valuation increased, like the competitions and also exchange rates. You know, all those three factors should reduce the valuation at least. But we want to know how come the valuation was up 7 billion.
Okay, you want to know about the valuation of AFC. Mukhtar, you want to take that on?
Yes, thank you very much, sir. So we have indeed provided some scenarios, and if you look at page 123 of the financial statement, you will see all the assumptions that we have used to do the valuation. And we have provided different scenarios. If exchange rate, interest rate moves by 1%, by 2.5%, we have given the scenario and how it will affect our profits. We don't expect that it will affect the value significantly. We are looking at just a plus or minus 5 billion, which is not significant compared to the total value of about 80 billion that we have there. So if you look at that, you can understand the basis, the rationale, and the scenarios that we have created to have the comfort that is not going to be significantly impaired or affect our numbers. Thank you.
Okay, next question.
Thank you. The next question is from Abdul Rauf Bello of WSTC Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. My question is it's quite related to the strategic initiatives of the business. Okay, so among the five biggest banks in Nigeria, about three of them have adopted a holdco structure. Just two, Zenith is among the two banks that do not operate a holdco structure. So I just want to ask if the group has any interest in sourcing growth in other industries like the fintech, PFA, even asset management. Basically, if the group has any interest in adopting that structure in the near to medium term.
Okay, thank you very much, Abdul. Let me state it here that we have aspiration to continue to grow and to get bigger. Two, we run our race, we keep to our lane, and we are not distracted by what others are doing, but rather we concentrate on what our visions are and what our aspirations are. This issue is always coming up. The fact is that we keep an open mind. If we find it compelling, if we find it value accretive to do HoldCo, we will do HoldCo. But so far, we are growing organically and our options are open. And what happens today, or what we are doing today, is not an assurance of what we will do tomorrow. So when we change perspective, we think it makes sense, we'll let the market know. But for now, as we speak to you today, we are growing organically. We are getting deeper in all the segments where we play. We are asserting ourselves in everywhere. And of course, you know that whatever we do it with a lot of energy. We do it with a lot of focus. And we don't really set out to compete with people. We set out to compete with ourselves, getting better than the best we have always achieved. And if in the process we dethrone incumbent, that is secondary. What's important is that we continue to grow and the options are open. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder to ask a question, please press star and then one. The next question is from Timothy Wambu of APSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the presentation and taking time to answer our questions. My first question is with regards to the strong customer number growth. I see it's up by about 76%. Maybe if you could give us some more insights as to what segment of the market you've been targeting. And tied to that, I've noticed that your share of retail deposits is lower year on year compared to last year. So I'm just curious, because I'm assuming perhaps these are mostly retail clients. Why is it that in terms of a deposit contribution point of view, we've seen a reduction? Second question is, it was asked earlier by Tunde, I believe. I want to understand from your current accounts, the significant increase that we saw in your interest expenses on current accounts, and kindly explain to me what is the cost of funds for those current accounts. And also maybe just tied to that is when you look at the types of accounts, CASA, for instance, and term deposits, are you able to provide a breakdown of what percentage of total deposits is current accounts, savings accounts, and term deposits? Thank you. I'll pause there.
Okay, thank you, Timothy. I will leave Tokwe Fashoranti to take on the question on customer growth and share of retail deposit.
Thank you, sir. Okay, thank you very much, Timothy. From the beginning of our retail journey, our emphasis has always been one major thing, that is customer onboarding. We are focused on customer onboarding. And we have used a lot of strategies in that regard, from vendor partnership to organizational partnerships to schemes and a lot of other channels. Now, if you look at the channels we have to onboard, there are about 10. We moved up from about 4 to about 10 channels of onboarding customers. And then we've also been very innovative in the kind of products and features we offer these customers. So we've seen a lot of our customer, you know, coming over to us. We moved down market also. Agency banking is another major avenue for us to open accounts. So we're bringing in a lot of those that are also financially excluded. So across board, we've tried to stay very effective, stay very efficient, and offer them efficient platforms, you know, and products, you know, to make them excited. And we're very customer-centric in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Ask about share of retail deposit. Mukhtar, you want to address that?
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Retail deposit did not actually drop. It grew. What happened is the total deposit book grew significantly. You have retail deposit also growing. Retail deposit as at June 2022 stood at 2.1 trillion. Compared to 1.8 trillion in December 2021. So you can see that there is actually a growth, about 17% growth in that line. But if you are looking at it relative to others would have grown faster than that. That is a different matter, but the retail book actually grew. Thank you.
Okay, next question.
Thank you. The next question is from Ngozi Odum of Cardinalstone Partners. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Please, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Ngozi. Go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you for taking our questions. Speaking to the elevated risk environment, can you please touch on the specific areas that you are worried on the impact on your loan book? And then also we see that in terms of your guidance for cost of risk at 1.4%, your full year guidance is at 2%, leaving room for additional impairment charges. Do we see growth in your impairment? Should we foresee growth in impairment or provisioning for the rest of the year? And then on your OPEX charges, we saw elevated costs coming from your fuel and maintenance. That's to be expected given the conditions in Nigeria. But for your full year expectation, or what was your outlook for full year? And then also, I wanted to know in terms of the increases in OPEX for your information and technology, should we be seeing additional products and services coming out? Because we saw a spike in your OPEX on information and technology costs. And then can you please speak to the PCR growth in terms of your term deposits compared to your CASA ratio? Thank you.
Okay, I'm not sure we got the last question, but I'll start from the IT costs. It's important to state that we are engaging in a lot of very, very massive IT transformational projects. And indeed, the growth you see in our digital and retail banking commission and fees that are being driven by the very intelligent automation we are carrying out. And we'll continue to develop products, use IT to build new, unique and proprietary capabilities. And these are helping us to identify new revenue pools and new business verticals. So we will continue to do a lot of consumption of IT products, i.e., deployment of new digital application, because we are using that to really not only be effective and improve our service delivery, but we are using it to grow the business and identify new revenue pools, like I mentioned. So IT costs is likely to remain at the same level that you've seen it. But however, on the whole, in terms of the value we are getting from it, we are getting multiple times over whatever the expenditure is. That is being closely watched. OPEX charges, fuel and maintenance, is difficult to tell. At the beginning of the year, nobody knew what was going to happen. We didn't know that the Russian-Ukrainian crisis was going to happen and lead us to where we are now. We don't know where that will be. There is no visibility to what will happen, and all of us know that the high energy cost is a fallout of one of those impact or adverse consequences of the Ukrainian-Russia crisis. Cost of risk 1.4, whether it will go higher, there is no one who budgets will get worse. We are not thinking we'll get worse, but we'll manage it. Zenit typically is a cautious bank. We are cautious and we are not being reckless. We will not be reckless when it comes to booking loan. We'll continue to choose and pick the loan. So we think the efficiency of the loan book will not be compromised. Therefore, we don't see further deterioration in terms of what we are seeing. Specific risk element in the environment. That's like asking me to speak about the global environment, really. And the risk elements are quite obvious for us to see. We can see that COVID hasn't completely disappeared. We are still seeing, the only thing is that there seem to be some maybe the impact of the vaccine is working, and we can see how COVID has also held China on lockdown, which also had impact on supply chain. The global supply chain hasn't recovered. The energy cost is also increasing costs globally. Then back home, we've also seen that the high energy cost has imposed huge subsidy payment on government. Inflation is biting hard. Inflation will mean weak purchasing power. And inflation doesn't do anybody any good. So we have these various elements in the environment that are driving risk. But in all, we'll continue to monitor these elements. We check the direction of travel, and we adapt our models and responses accordingly. One thing I can assure you is that Zenith, we are big when it comes to scenario planning. And whatever happens, our response is not going to be a knee-jerk response. our response would have been well thought out, well ahead of time. We have scenarios for each of these elements, but somehow it's not something that we come and share openly, but be rest assured that in our risk mitigation and risk management agenda, these issues have been very well addressed.
Thank you very much. The next question is from Josh Arowolo of Stanbic. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sirs. My question is on taxes, and a problem has been, you know, addressed during the course of this phone call. My internet has been quite bad. So I just wanted an update on the corporate tax. Should we expect that ratio of corporate tax to profit to be stable going forward? So that's the first question. And then the second question, again, still on taxes. Can we just get more color on what the following taxes mean to National Fiscal Stabilization Levy, a National Agency for Science and Engineering Infrastructure Levy? Is that taxes that would also, you know, appear going forward as well?
All right. Thank you very much. Mukhtar will take that question or those questions.
Okay, thank you very much. So you're talking of the corporate tax. Of course, you would realize that the tax numbers are beginning to increase, to grow, and effective tax rate is going to go up because the tax exemption on the Nigerian operation on treasury bills and government bonds, the exemption doesn't apply again. So effective tax rate is going to move up. Corporate tax is going to move up. The other taxes that you mentioned are special taxes that are coming from some of the jurisdictions that we are operating. For example, in Ghana, they have a special tax that they levy to for their economy to recover. So that's what you probably are seeing there. And then the other one, National Agency for Science and Engineering and Infrastructure. Those are also taxes that are Nigerian-based that are being levied. Yes, so it will continue. National Fiscal Stabilization Levy is coming from Ghana. It will also continue. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next question.
Thank you. The next question is from Polewatife Omoladi of Zerosk Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, so thank you very much for the call and presentation. So I have just two questions. My first question is, how do you track the trends in the industry? And most importantly, how do you think you maintain or surpass this current performance in the next coming quarters? Thank you.
Thank you, Boluatife. How do we track the trend in the industry? I think I'll probably have to recruit you to come in so that you know how we track it. But be rest assured that we track trend effectively. And in Zenith, we have the best talent you can think of globally. And people own their process. They are self-driven, self-motivating. So that's, with that, half of the job is done. So we are not as ESCO sitting at the back of someone asking him to give you trend. So individually, you have there's a high sense of responsibility and discipline that drives you. That comes from our value system. And certain things are uniquely Zenith, I would say so. How will we continue to surpass this? I said it earlier, and I'd like to repeat it, that we are our biggest competitor. We don't see ourselves as competing with the market. Our key driver, our key discipline, the value system in Zenith, thanks to our chairman and founder, is that we should get better than we were the last time. The best of what we've achieved is the standard for the next level of achievement. Therefore, what we expect to see is that we will work whatever it takes. We have people who are very courageous, who are bold, they are audacious, ready to make all the calls. And even though we offer homogeneous service in the market, but Zenith has a pragmatic way of offering services that is uniquely us. And our relationship management skills is second to none. So whatever it takes, yes, it's a tough environment. We will do all it will take to ensure that we sustain the performance. That is the big call we have. is a huge one. It's quite big, but it's part of us being a Zenith. That's what we have in our DNA. We'll be rest assured that we will keep up with the pace. The run rate will not be weakened.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question is the follow-up questions from Tunde Ogunleye. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to ask a follow-up. So on the power sector loan that I was referring to, is on your page 76 of your financials. As at FY 2021, you had 67 billion in power sector, but in first half of 2022, it has moved to 104 billion. So that was why I was asking what led to that increase we saw in your gross loan in power sector. I noticed that one of my questions on intervention loans as a percentage of your loan book wasn't answered. If you could touch on that. And my final question is just to know your current USD position. By my calculation, you are short $374 billion in Naira terms. I might be wrong. Maybe just to see clarity around that, and what's your USD position in dollar terms, basically. Thank you.
Okay. The power sector loan you refer to, the increase there, primarily there were, in terms of the legacy asset, there are two items there. The new exposure you see there, these are self-liquidating short-term exposures that are properly reinforced. Then you talked about the question of, is it the USD position, Mukta? You want to take that? Yeah, percentage of our intervention loan, I think, is just something around about 15% or so. It's not significant. It's not significant. About 10-15%.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. On the position, yes, if you look at page 103, you will see our FX balance sheet. And you also have to read the note beneath it. That shows that we have a US dollar receivable of 1.6 billion. So if you factor that in your expectation of our position, you'd realize that we have a dollar long dollar position of up to a billion or more than a billion. Then if you want to go back to our revaluation loss that we reported on notes, if we check our revaluation loss that we reported, you will realize that we had a revaluation loss. If you check the exchange rate movement on that revaluation loss, you would arrive at the expected long dollar position that we have. So they all tie together. If you just take your time to look at them, you will appreciate where we are coming from. The note on our revaluation loss is on page 135. I hope that is clear. Thank you.
All right. Next question.
Thank you. The next question is from Wale Okunriboye of Sigma Pensions Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for your presentation. Also, congratulations on your half-year numbers. I have a question on your on Zenith's board and as well as my man. So looking through your board, I see you only have two or three women, if I'm correct, out of roughly 16, 17 or 13 thereabouts individuals. And then looking at my man level two, it's also a very low number as well. I think it's
we can't hear you. It's not audible.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I was talking about the gender diversity I'm seeing on your board and management levels. I'm looking at those at both the board and management of Zenith. The number of women that are on your board is quite low. What initiatives are you doing? Is this something you're okay with? Are there any initiatives you're doing to try and raise the number of women you have at management and at board levels? That would be my question, really.
Thank you, Wally. I was expecting you even recognize the fact that we are moving the needle, because at a time 2 years ago, it was just one. Today, we have three women on the board. We have Adora Omoji, Deputy Managing Director. We have Adobe Nwakpa, Executive Director. We have Dr. Omobola, who is also an independent non-executive director. But beyond that, it's also important for us to, if you look at manage, that's the staff, you see that there's gender balance when it comes to staff. But beyond that, the group, the chair of the board we have in Ghana is a lady. And in Ghana, we have about three ladies on the board. Then in Sierra Leone, the chair of the board is a lady. So when you look at that, yes, we are conscious of the fact that, yes, we need to promote gender diversity, and we are increasingly working to make sure that we get to that level of, call it a balance. But we are conscious of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is a follow-up from Abdul Bello of WSTC. Please go ahead.
All right. Please, my question is a follow-up to the old call question I asked previously.
Please, can you speak up? It's not audible.
All right. My question is a follow-up question to the answer you gave to the decision on whether to maintain a old call structure or not. So, based on your response, if it seems content, or if the group seems content with our current operations in the banking industry, I'd like to please ask, what do you see in terms of the prospect of the banking industry in the near to medium term, in terms of growth, especially if we consider the current macroeconomic challenges, the current situation, and what it even means in the future?
Well, the outlook is that banking industry will continue to be relevant. No matter what happens, no matter how hard, no matter how bad the adversity you see in the market may be, there is always intermediation. So banking industry is going to be relevant. And what we see is that the mode of engagement, the state of play may change. The state of play will change. We're going to be seeing a lot more innovation. We're going to be seeing a lot more collaboration as we have non-bank banking institutions come into the field of play. So will it continue to be relevant? Yes, it will be relevant. And traditional revenue earning sources may be challenged. So our responsibility will be to find new ways of making money and creating value. So the industry will continue to retain its relevance.
Thank you, sir. Then the final question is from Rona Kadia of EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, just a quick follow-up. What's your exposure to ITEO, and what's the status of this loan, and have you made any provisions at all, if any, on this loan? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rona. Let me say that ITEO is a syndicated loan, and as an industry or syndicate, we are at the verge of concluding the process of the restructure, and there've also been some very good initiative that ITO has initiated in having to develop an alternative evacuation route. So you know that ITO has the old infrastructure that is as old as the discovery of oil in the country. That's the Nembe Creek trunk line that traverses different communities. So you dare not produce and pass anything through those trunk lines. And in terms of reserve, they continue to hold massive reserve in gas and oil. So once the issue of alternative evacuation is dealt with, and given where if oil price is, I think we are looking forward to an improvement in ITO and effective performance. In terms of fire exposure, top of my head, I think it's in the... ITO, I can't really hazard the guess, but it's just not significant. It doesn't constitute a very single significant exposure in our loan book.
Thank you very much, sir. So we have no further questions in the conference call, and I would like now to hand back to the Group CEO for closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to assure you that as we go into the second half and closing for the year, that we'll continue to drive our business more intensely. We'll continue to exercise our right of play in the retail and digital space. We are quite encouraged and inspired by what we've been able to achieve in the digital and retail space over the years. And we also continue to embrace automation. We'll drive it more intensely. And as the environment is changing, we'll continue to adapt to changes in the environment. So we can assure you that Zenith will continue to deliver very strong and respectable performance, and be sure that we also continue to improve our risk mitigation and risk minimization agenda. So I thank you all, and we hope that by the end of the year, we'll be able to post a result that is consistent with what we've achieved in the first half. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that then concludes our conference call. Thank you for attending, and you may now disconnect your lines.